You're listening to the audio version of Victory Condition Gaming, sponsored by Forget Me Not Flowers and Gifts in Barrie, Vermont. You can check them out online at forgetmenotflowersbarrie.com. If you'd like to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, search for Victory Condition Gaming, and you can also follow me on Twitter at DougVCGaming. And if you'd like to watch us live every week, make sure to subscribe to Victory Condition Gaming on YouTube. Hey everyone, we've got an awesome guest again for you this afternoon or evening, Simon Stalenhag. Thank you so much for giving your time to come on and chat about the Labyrinth, which launched on Kickstarter today. It's doing phenomenally well. Congratulations! You've got it's already hit. I'm looking at U.S. dollars. It's over $111,000 on Kickstarter as of this recording. I'm sure it'll do much more in the days and weeks to come. And you've got over 2,100 backers. Congratulations. This is an amazing, I love seeing your success on all your projects. I'm excited for you.
I guess I should say take the opportunity to just thank all the backers for the support, because it amazes me that people are interested enough to go online and support this.
All of your projects up until now have just been really, really amazing. I love all the art books that the narrative art books that have been put out. Let's talk a little bit about Labyrinth. You want to tell folks a little bit about what it is entirely, and I'll just remind folks that if you're watching this and you haven't checked out the Kickstarter, I did put the link to the Kickstarter in the description of this video, so please go check it out and take a look at it, because it's just, there's some amazing pieces in here, and I can't wait to dive into this book and hear the story behind them all and everything. So anyway, if you would like to give folks a little bit of a rundown on what the Labyrinth is.
It's basically a post-apocalyptic kitchen sink story, if that's possible. But it actually has a piece of art of an actual kitchen sink. I wanted to do something that has kind of a domestic feel, like a family and inspired by like The Shining and stuff, where it's like a confined space, but also to be very, very post-apocalyptic in a very global sense and almost cosmic sense. So I wanted to combine those. So the Labyrinth is the end result of that. I've been doing that for two and a half years, I think, from start to finish, and it started with being just one. I just felt like the current political situation in the world, I could only imagine doing like something with a lot of ash and burned down cities. Mm-hmm. Only thing that felt relevant. So I started exploring that, and then the characters and the other setting of this facility, this research facility, kind of to contrast that very bleak outdoor setting. Something I came up with later. But then I kind of combine that, and that's the process is very intuitive. So I just start painting stuff that feels right, rather than thinking about them too much.
I'm going to throw up a few of the images up as we're talking too. So if folks are interested in that, let's just this is. I believe this is the cover illustration that you have. It looks very aquatic.
Yes,
like it looks very like underwater, and like I love this feel of like, because you don't see that a lot with post-apocalyptic settings.
No, I imagine. I was inspired by like the deep sea stuff, like the life on in like down the bottom of the ocean where it's really dark, and I wanted to make this surface of the earth to have that kind of be as hostile to human life as the deep sea trench, those were also like the early pieces of art that I did, and And then I started to work out the story, like who are these people, and also, I mean, it doesn't go into detail how it became that ravaged by. I mean, there is some kind of ecological disaster, obviously, and the text kind of goes into some parts of that, but it's mostly about the people. And like a few individuals and their stories from the collapse of the society. But it started with those settings.
Okay, so I guess that kind of brings me to my question that So these pieces of art inspired your story a lot of times. I've always been curious as to with all the stuff that you do and all these narrative like art books. Does your art inspire the story, or do you come up with a story and then that kind of inspires where you want to go with art with the art pieces?
I think I come up with I have like a vague idea of a setting and a tone and maybe a piece of music or something. That I listen to and then comes the images and I do a few of them, like those images that you just shown, and then I kind of start thinking about what would be a good contrast to this, like a story that complements and kind of contrasts these images, and also trying to think of new settings that also complements those, to make it more interesting, to not make it just like post-apocalyptic or to bring more elements into it. And also because I know that when I write, I have to write something that I know, and because I'm a very lazy writer, so I don't like to do too much research, so I just write about my own experiences.
Okay.
Oh,
hey.
I do quite a lot of research actually, but another type of research when it comes to the actual like writing prose and writing something, finding a voice, to me it feels fake if it would be somebody with that is too different from me and has to. I mean, I have to be able to take stuff from my own life, and so it can't be. I mean, I guess I could never write something like The Martian, which is like about actual what you actually would do as a scientist on Mars. I mean, I would just feel like you would have to be a scientist to be able to write that. Or as in that case, I guess he was like a science reporter or something. But so my way of writing is to kind of say something. And I want to say something about my own experience in life or memories or stuff from my own life. So, yeah.
Let's see here. We have some chat going on. And if anybody has any questions for Simon, please feel free to list them in the chat. We'll be glad to bring them up as we go along. Guru Phil says, this reminds me of H.G. Wells. I think he's referring to the second image that I showed on the screen there.
War of the Worlds or something.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which is like I think the Steven Spielberg version is the version that I saw. I mean, when it came out, I was 21, I think, and I remember seeing that film in the movies, like on by myself. One of the first or only films that I've seen by myself in the theater, and. I actually left the theater, not because I didn't like it, because I felt like I kind of sensed that it wasn't gonna like the ending.
Okay.
And so I went to the bathroom, and then when I was gonna go back into the theater, I was like, it's such a hassle, you know, getting past all in your line, you have to get past all the people. So I was like, the film feels, I kind of like the film right now. It's probably gonna it's gonna be ruined with the ending. So I just left, and I remember kind of liking the experience of having half a film in my head, and I could kind of imagine the second half. And then I saw it, I think on DVD or something after that. But I really liked the first half of that film.
Okay.
I mean, I like the film. It's just like with the David Lynch Dune. I love the first half of it is like one of my favorite films of all time, and the second half is like doesn't really have a proper ending, right? It just fizzles out. But the same with War of the Worlds. It's like I think it was very influential on me in terms of this the tone and mood and design of the tripods and the destruction of the city and everything.
Let's see here. Matthew Tyler Jones says, "Write what you know." That's what they always said at school. So
yes.
Sounds like that's sound advice.
Yeah, and I tried to make it into an advantage when writing about science fiction and kind of extreme situations, and instead of like feeling that it is a problem that I don't have any. I mean, I have a very like privileged middle class life basically here in Sweden. It's hard to write about. You know, society's collapsing. I mean, there are societies collapsing in the world. There are people with those experiences, but I don't. I mean, I try to use those kind of middle class nuclear family experiences, being a kid in that kind of, or like a divorced child that I am. Like that's the worst thing that happened to me in my life, probably. There's people who have experienced much bigger catastrophes than that, but I think I there is a contrast, there is something, it's interesting to play with those genuine memories that I have and add putting them in these extreme situations, because I mean something happens. I think that's better than trying to, you know, pretend that I have experience that I don't.
Sure. No, I totally agree with that. Absolutely. Guru Phil says, Simon has a couple amazing music albums, which if you haven't checked out Simon's music, you definitely should. Simon's just an amazing artist all around. So sorry, that's kind of odd to say right in front of you, but it's true. One of which was The Electric State. Any likelihood of something for The Labyrinth?
Yes, there is a similar like equivalent companion album coming out. I'm not sure exactly how, if it's going to be part of the Kickstarter now, or if it's going to be. I'm not sure. We haven't discussed the details. I think that's been the plan, but we'll see. It's definitely going to come out on Spotify and the usual channels for that. So I wrote a bunch of songs to kind of capture the mood in this book and in this world that I've created, and it's also I really enjoy that, trying to find the sound textures to match.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also I have a lot of influences from writing that I've listened to a lot of different music pieces of music that have influenced me, so it's nice to be able to kind of use that in its own format, so to speak, and also explore the this, because it's like there's a lot of horror and dread in the book, and that's musically something that I haven't explored that much, so it was really fun to work on that.
Let's see here. JH asks, beautiful art. Looking forward to grabbing one or two of the posters from the Kickstarter. Excellent. Thank you, JH. I'm just wondering when will we get a free league role-playing game from The Labyrinth? I don't want to put you on the spot, but,
I don't know. I mean, we have to ask free league. I hope they'll make one, because they obviously are very good at making those games, and it's always interesting to see how they can turn something into a game, because I don't, I mean, this is a very, very, very confined setting. I mean, there's a few, three characters, and but you, there's like a underground city that we hear about. So of course there is something you can do with that, but that's like the only place with humans that we know of in this universe. It's gonna be interesting to see how, but it's also kind of close already to some of the mutant games,
right?
There is a similar setting in one of those
games. There's Elysium is very 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 similar to that. So they probably could take that and modify it a little bit and like make it its own game.
And I mean, but I don't know. We haven't discussed that yet.
Let me see here. So my question for you, and this is something that I know probably isn't in the works yet, but you know, you never know with any Simon project. We've seen Tales from the Loop turn into a mini series on Amazon. We know that the Electric State has a movie in the works. Or with the Labyrinth, would you like to see some sort of other medium for it like that? And if so, what form would you like to see it in?
I think this is a good movie.
Okay.
It feels like it definitely is something that could work well in that format. And like a really nice horror film.
Yeah, sure.
But it's such a weird thing with, I mean, you want people to make a good project, like a good movie, like with Tales from the Loop. I mean, you want a lot of money to do what you want to do.
Sure.
And at the same time, the more money you get, the less control you get. But for this, like for Labyrinth, I feel like an indie horror film that is
okay.
They're winning. I don't have to do anything. It's just some director who's brilliant. This is me dreaming now. Who's brilliant and does all the work, but there's not too much studio. You see Simon Score? Yes, of course, Simon Score. I don't have to do any work. It's just a brilliant masterpiece. It's a win-win for me. That's my
that's what you would love to see. I think it would be as well.
Yeah, and also in this childish fantasy of mine, they will pay me a lot of money so I can make more books. Money that they obviously don't have because it's an indie film. But but that's kind of the problems with in real world. It's not like that. It's like the more people invest, the more the studios invest, the more control they want. That's why Tales from the Loop is a very weird, like outlier in the world of financing films, because they got a lot of money and they did exactly the thing they wanted to do from the beginning. So when they pitched the idea to me, like, it's the same thing you see on screen. It's the exact same thing, and they didn't change when they got all that money. It didn't change that much. So which is kind of unusual.
Well, I'm sure that they probably realized what kind of hit with, you know, why your art and why everything that you know, your storytelling, you know, why it like resonates with people and why it connects, and they don't want to stray too far away from that, because you know, otherwise they're just going to be doing, you know, all that all this wonderful stuff that you've created, that just kind of like throws it out the window, and I'm sure that they definitely don't want that to happen, because there's so many people that love these worlds that you in tales that you create.
I've seen that happen too. Yeah. In treatments and like people's ideas of what could be done with my material, they I've seen really weird takes.
Yeah.
that makes you wonder what they saw in the first place. Like, this is not even close to me. to my book. So, so as you say, yeah, with Tales from Loop, I feel really like lucky that in that way. So, but going back to the Labyrinth, I think it would also be like TV is the more creative medium right now. It feels like, or it has been for 10 years. So I that would also be awesome, of course.
As a absolutely TV show. Yeah, I think it kind of would. It would be like a I think it would, not that we want to throw around too many IPs, but like kind of like I would love to see, you know, like a post-apocalyptic show. I'm a big post-apocalyptic fan anyway. I love that genre. So just to see a show that kind of takes a unique twist on it, I think would I would be all for tuning into that every week. Let's see here. Bones and Banner says, Simon has been leaning into people posting their own accidental Stalag photos. Does it feel strange to own an aesthetic like that?
I don't own it. I feel so bad for people who, there's like so many people who've done similar things to me, to what I do. But I guess they might also have, it's just in my little Simon bubble that I think that people, that I kind of own the aesthetic. But no, it feels weird because some of the times it's just accidentally me because it's foggy or like there's concrete in the frame. I don't know. It seems like it takes a very few things to make it a Stål & Hag piece. And that's, I don't know if that's good or bad, but I'm flattered nevertheless that people send me, are reminded of me just in there. And that's like the best thing is that they send me pictures of like streets and parking lots instead of like pictures of monsters or other artwork. I mean, that happens too, but it's I like to be part of people's boring everyday lives.
Yeah, it's there's beauty in that. Absolutely.
Yes. That was my kind of mission starting to do these things. To kind of recapture the boring parts of my own life, at least.
Nice. And as an artist, it must feel very satisfying knowing that you're inspiring other people to, you know, dive into art and storytelling and all that as well.
Yes, because I think it's. I mean, it's very nice to, in a very broad sense, know that people have similar feelings of the world, and that something, because it's a very specific feeling that I want to capture with a picture, and it feels it's stuff that you feel it's hard to put into words, and then when it resonates with other people, you kind of feel a connection, and you don't feel lonely or weird. It feels like there are other people who think the same. But it's also just on a very basic artistic level, it feels like that means I don't suck, which is nice. Because you always have that, carry that with you. Like,
sure.
Because having painted and been drawing since I was a kid, you have that, you're very familiar with the feeling of doing something, sitting by the desk and drawing something, and you think it's the best thing in the world, and then the next day you wake up and look at the stuff you've drawn, and it's like, this is terrible. What was I thinking? It's like a hangover, creative hangover. Yep. And it's so nice when people resonate in that way with something you've done. It's like, okay, so this probably had something that was worth the time I spent with it. So it's on many levels, it's very, very satisfying.
Sure. Now this, it looks like the Free League has a delivery date or expected delivery of December of this year, which is very, I mean, it's only a few months away. So I'm to assume that a lot of this book is pretty much all done and written and all the art's there. It just needs to be published. Or printed at this point.
When I write, I always I write in a Google document, but even the Google document is kind of laid out, so it kind of looks, the pages look kind of similar to how they will look in the book. But I always go, I always put the text into a dummy design document of the whole book, so I can constantly see how the text would work with the images and see where, like, how long a text can be, like a page can be, because it's a continuous story. So it's almost like writing scenes that can't be longer than a given, you know, number of words. And so I have like a dummy version, which is pretty much the same as the book that comes out in the stores. And but Free League is doing all the hard work of actually making that into a real product with where it actually looks good, because I just do it very kind of sloppy in Photoshop, but the kind of core of everything is there, and all the sometimes I do some update some of the artwork a little bit, but like most of it's there, and the text is written and edited and everything.
Oh, nice. Okay. Wow, I was surprised. I was surprised to see such a short, delivery estimate. Because
I mean, it's everything. All the pieces are there, but that's the good thing with these projects that I can. I mean, we don't ask for any money until we know we can put the book together. I've already done the work. So, but it's kind of scary working for 2 years on something without getting paid. So the Kickstarter are kind of the way I do that, like with same with Free League, but they kind of have more stuff going on at the same time. But for me, it was very hard. I don't do much commissions. I basically live off of these Kickstarters more or less, and there's not much royalties in besides the Kickstarters. So when it comes to selling books, that's, I mean, I probably couldn't live off just my books if it was only the books. And yeah, that's the great thing with this way of making books is, or for me at least, that I can work on another project that nobody, that I own. I mean, we didn't even sign a contract on this book until like a couple of weeks ago, so it's really I can do anything I want, but the pressure is on me to actually finish it. But I seem to be pretty good at going up in the morning and start working.
Nice. Let's talk a little bit about, of course, with art and with the story, you want to evoke feelings from you know, readers and from folks that take in your art and read your story. What would you say is the emotion that you would, or the feeling that you hope that readers get from once they've read through and looked through the labyrinth, this narrative art book? What do you want? What would you love for readers to kind of just walk, you know, once they're finished it, what would you like, you hope that they feel? This is a question I didn't prep you for before this session. So I'm kind of just throwing it at you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I think, it's a very good question, because I think this book is more, political in a sense.
Okay.
I mean, the kind of exercise of writing it was kind of political. I was kind of appalled by the means to an end thinking, like we separating children at the border, for instance. That's, I'm sure nobody does that. I mean, with Trump, you don't know, but people who actually make these policies happen, they think it's for some greater good. And instead of just writing a scenario where people are evil, I wanted to create a scenario where you have to do horrible things to people in order to survive. And I wanted the kind of rationalization behind that be something that I would believe in. Okay. Like, what would it take for me to do these things? So because I guess there is some point for everybody, like everyone, where you feel like this has to be done, no matter how cruel it is. And that's hopefully what I think, like what I hope people will feel, like the, kind of a sense of fragility in this open society that we have, or the existence that we live, or I mean, it's a very broad scenario that doesn't really apply to any specifics in our current political situation. But in terms of, because the thing that I'm scared of when it comes to the politics of today is it's kind of a cosmic horror. It's like there's no guarantee. Our society doesn't have any, hasn't been given any guarantees that other societies was given that collapsed. So that's I think I hopefully people walk away feeling a bit scared.
Okay. I mean, that's ultimately that's what you want, as far as, you know, being a storyteller and being an artist. You want to evoke feeling and emotion from folks, and that's kind of what I was just wondering what you were hoping for with, because I mean but everybody interprets things their own way, but I think this is a really interesting project that you've got here, and I'm so glad that it's such a huge success already on Kickstarter for you. I'll tell folks if you're interested, I'll put a picture of the book up that is available on Kickstarter right now. It's beautiful. It's just, I love the design of it. I love the feel of it.
I don't want to nitpick, but I do believe that the final result, the real book, is going to be thicker than that.
Oh, is it? That's just the image that Freely gave me.
Yes, and I'm thinking it's Dante or somebody on Freely who did that mock-up. It might be that they're making it with a thinner paper, but I don't think so. And this is a large, like a bigger book or more pages and than the previous one. So it's bigger scope than not by much, but by maybe 20 pages, I think, or something like that.
Wow, nice. That's. I mean, the other books are really, really well done, and I love having them on my shelves. So I can't wait to have this next one on there along with it. And the other thing I'll tell folks is that if you would like the limited edition version of The Labyrinth, this is only going to be available on the Kickstarter. So make sure to check that out. That's a really, really nice looking limited edition book as well.
Yes.
And right now they're unlocking some prints. So if you want more Simon art on your walls, you'll be able to get some really great prints along with the book as well. If you back it on Kickstarter, we have gone over the 30 minutes that I promised you, Simon. I appreciate you and I thank you so much for giving your time. I thank everyone that tuned in and asked questions. If you are a fan of Simon's, like I am, please hit that like button down below and share this video with anyone that you think would be interested in this art book, this narrative art book, because I'll tell you what, I want to see more and more Simon projects in the future. I'm assuming you have more coming up,
yes,
on the way.
I'm working on, today actually I came up with the ending for my next book.
Oh, did you really?
But I have to say, I do come up with many endings before. I reached the final ending.
Oh, okay.
But I felt good about it today. So I don't have that much material yet. But I'm now in the phase where I'm writing down stuff, small passages of text that might end up in a book. So I've done the first 10 or so pieces, and I'm exploring and writing. And so yeah, hopefully we'll have another Kickstarter in 2.5 years.
Hopefully it's. Maybe it's sooner than that. I would hope.
Yeah, but it's like Electric State was three years ago.
Was it really 3 years ago already?
Yes, it was. So
wow.
It was 2017, or I think so. Yeah. Or was it in 2000? Early 2008? But it's around 2.5, 3 years.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I wish I was faster, but it takes so much time.
Well, it's just like I said, I've said this time and time again. I love all the stuff that you do, and like I said, I know you're a very busy man. I appreciate you coming on and chatting with us for a little while this afternoon or this evening for you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Simon, if folks want to, I know you're very active on Twitter. Where should folks go if they want to follow you on Twitter?
Simon Stålenhag. Simon Stålenhag, I think my handle is. I don't know, but if you, I'm the only one with that name, so yeah, you'll find me. Yes, search for me on Twitter.
Absolutely, you're very, very active, and I really appreciate you giving your time today again. So, all right, folks, that's going to do it for this session. Thank you so much for tuning in.